Tonight I'm again turning to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So we, as I said last week, we continue the same subject. Last week the subject was the Holy Spirit as a revealer of God's truth. And so this will be part 2 of the same subject, and this will complete the chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians for us, as we look at verse 12 to 16 to complete this chapter. So as I said, our subject is the Holy Spirit as revealer of God's truth. And this is the thought Apostle Paul tried to bring out through these verses for us to, I mean, insist and to affirm that truth of Scripture, that the Holy Spirit that reveals the truth of God to his people, whether they are the prophets of old, whether the apostles, or even believers, to understand the Scriptures and to know its realities. In the previous verses, coming to verse 12, Apostle Paul has stated that the gospel they preached is God's wisdom. He has mentioned, I think, verse 7, but he said, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery," and he also repeated it, that verse 8, that none of the princes of this world never knew this wisdom. And he went on to explain more about that in the following verses. And so that he has already said the gospel they preach is God's wisdom, and that it is the Spirit that revealed this truth of God's wisdom to them, because it is hidden even to the eyes of men, to the wisdom and the princes of this world. Verse 8, "For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." If they had known this truth, meaning that not that they, as I explained the other time, not that they didn't hear, that they were not willing to obey or listen to the Lord Jesus Christ and His words to them. And again, the apostles, they rejected. So that their ignorance is willful ignorance. And I said that's how unbelievers are until the Lord, the Holy Spirit comes to illuminate the minds of all to know the realities of the realities of God's truth. And also, he said that it's only those that are perfect who can perceive that the gospel is God's wisdom. And he tells us this in verse 12, let me just go back a little. Where he mentions that they speak it to those who are perfect. Miss my verse, but I'm coming. Okay, I'll come back to that. But he has spoken that the gospel, the wisdom of the gospel, are perceived by those who are perfect, those who able to, and I explained that that perfection has to do with those with renewed mind and those who can understand God's truth. And the perfect doesn't mean that they are perfect where they don't have any sin. It's talking about understanding about spiritual things. And those things are, they speak, and when they speak, those who can understand are perfect. And I said that when we talk of perfection, it has to do with when believers in the eyes of God are perfect, in the fact that they only can understand Him. No matter how people are wise in this world, if they are not Christians, they are not genuine believers, things of God are foolish to them, so that they cannot sense anything in the Word of God, so that God doesn't count them as anything. So that's why God has counted the wisdom of this world as nothing. So that only even believers could be, in the eyes of the world, they were unintelligent in matters of the world, but then, so long as they are able to discern God's truth, the Bible says they are perfect. Because the God's truth is a heavenly wisdom, and it's a high form of wisdom. No matter how people understand the things, people are so intelligent in the world, until they come to understand God's truth, they don't have They don't have their ignorance of God's the ignorance of real wisdom. So that's how it is. So, and then he continues to tell us that from verse 12 to 16, as I say, he continued to take on that thought that we need a spirit teaching to understand God's wisdom, which is given to us in His Word. Okay, so I begin from verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So now we have received. Here he asks, what he tells us, what have we received? It has to do with the renewed mind of believers. Because in verse 11 he said that, For what man knoweth the things of man, say the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. So you see that, now in his time we have received. What have we received? It's a spiritual understanding that believers have received. So now we have received the renewed mind to be able to perceive the things that the Lord teaches us, that the gospel, the truth of the gospel, and the entire truth of God's word, so that we have received this from the Holy Spirit. And every believer received this at conversion. The day we come to believe the Lord, the day the Lord saved us, He renews our mind. He gives us the capacity to have spiritual understanding. You know, for Apostle Paul and the other inspired writers, the New Testament writers, this will include the ability to receive inspired teachings. But their teachings, all that they wrote for us in the epistles and the gospels, we call them inspired teachings. They were teachings of God's word, but then it was a direct teaching from the scripture. So that whatever they taught were as if God Himself was speaking. So that is the doctrine of inspiration, the doctrine that the Bible is inspired word of God. So they have the gift of inspiration to receive direct teachings from the script, from the Holy Spirit. So now we have received. So it includes the inspired ability to receive inspired instruction of the scripture, and also to interpret the truth of God's word. So that now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God. So there's a contrast he's making here. Naturally, we all have a spirit. We have a mind, a mindset, and thinking capacity. But he contrasts the new thinking or the new mind believers have received. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God. So here, a contrast between the renewed mind of the regenerate and that of the worldly mind of the unregenerate. That's what is contrasting, because there's a spirit of the world, the mindset, the mind, the thinking of the world, the worldly mindedness. And we all naturally receive this mind when we come to this world. We have all this spirit in us. Healthy mindedness. This we receive. It gives us the principles of this natural life, and this guides us in this world, so that we are able to understand the things of this world and live in this world. So that the spirit of the world. And the worst part of it is that where people by this being ignore anything about God, so that it becomes so much as a sin. Naturally, we receive this mind. It's about the things of this world. And then the worst part is that natural mind, because without the help of the Spirit, this natural mind remains about the things of this earth. But then Apostle Paul is telling us, while we receive this, believers in the new birth receive another spirit, another mind, which is that, and this mind or this principles of life guides spiritual life of believers. That's what he's trying to tell us. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God. The spirit which is of God. So that this is a special gift. Not that unbelievers, their mind are not from God. It's from God, but that's natural. A mind given to all when we come to this. But then, for us to understand God, because of our sinfulness, we need to have another mind, capacity, which for us to be able to understand spiritual things. So that the believer has received a spiritual mind from God. So that's what he's saying. Now we have received. This is what he's talking about. The believer has received a spiritual mind from God, in contrast to that fleshly mind which we inherit through fleshly birth. You see, it's always the scripture pictures a believer as a privileged position. We all have natural mind, but we have received, in addition to this natural mind, a mind to be able to, understand the things of God. And he will tell us the purpose, the last part of the verse, he will tell us the purpose why we have received it. He said that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's the purpose. Why are we given a renewed mind? That we might what? Know the things. Know them not just as words, but know them as something that are real. You see, to discern them that they are true to be believed. We have this, and it is so that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So that this is the purpose of this spiritual mind. This is the purpose, is to discern the blessings of God's grace. What are the things freely given to us? Things of grace. Blessings, the truth that grace of God has secured for us. And out of this truth, we're able to see the blessings. Because when we come to know this truth of God, then we're able to know that there are blessings freely given to us from God through the Lord Jesus Christ. By his death on the cross of Calvary, God has secured for us many blessings that are freely bestowed on us, though we don't deserve it. But then, how can we discern these blessings? That when the Bible tells us of them, how can we really realize that they are true? You see, so that the believers have received a mind to discern these things. And the blessings of grace are many. And it's the Holy Spirit that discovered this to us. I'm sure we can, each one of us who are saved, can remember at times we heard about the gospel several times. But there was a particular point in time where the truth of the gospel really caught us. We begin to think about them. And we came to repent and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. But before we hear them, it's nothing to us. What happened? It is the work of this gift we have received to be able to descend. At a point, the Spirit working out to illuminate our mind so that we can realize that these truths are real. And as I said, these are the blessings of redemption. What Christ, the Lord Jesus, have done on the cross of Calvary for us. And this is what the Spirit helps us to be able to perceive. The forgiveness of sin. How can we realize that we need to be forgiven of sin? Justification. Well, how can we come to really realize that the Bible telling us that God will justify us when we believe? It's the Spirit that helps us. Sanctification, protection, and the hope of eternal life. These things, naturally, we don't care about them. We tell people about them. Well, we tell them. I'm sure some of us have tried to speak to people about the coming judgment and the Lord Jesus Christ will come. We tell, well, they know it's true, but it doesn't really bother them. It doesn't really shake them of their course of life. They think, well, one day, well, when it comes, whatever. I mean, things will happen. But then, when we are given that capacity to discern that these truths are really and really are going to happen, it's like, let me give this example. About matters of life, for instance, we know every 4 years there's election in Ghana. Okay, so the time goes, and then you meet somebody, tell him, oh, so and so man, there will be election. He knows it's true. He's thinking, except a mad person on the street, you tell the person there will be election, he'll be laughing at you. Because he doesn't, his thinking is not to the level of sound people. But a person with a sound mind, you know, yes, there's going to be election, maybe so soon, so you also have heard it. The same way in the spiritual things, when a person is not given this blessing, this spiritual mind, you tell them of the destruction to come. You tell them of eternal life. You tell them of the condemnation of sin and the curse of sin. And what if they don't repent, their life will be, well, they know they are in sin, but then just a normal thing to them. They don't know the reality of that. But it is the Spirit that discovered this to us. And the Spirit assures believers that these things are certain. All that the Lord have given us in His Word, all that the Gospel teaches us is true. So you see, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. How can we know these things? It's not that we cannot hear, we can hear them and even put them in our minds, but how can we know they are true that we can rest our hopes in them? It is the Spirit's work. So that's what Apostle Paul is trying to teach us here. Remember that even the Lord Jesus Christ himself, when he was on earth, before he left, he told the disciples that he had many things to tell them, but they are not able to bear it. They are not able to bear it. But he told them when the Spirit comes, he will show it to them. This is referring to the gift of illumination and inspiration that the Spirit was to come to give them. And in John chapter 16, 12 to 13, he said that, I'll quote that verse, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth, look at it, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. You see? So here, the work of discovering God's truth to us is the work of the Spirit. And from the beginning, the Lord Jesus Christ himself told them, yes, I have told you many things, but for you to further take the many truths of the gospel to be able to even teach it and to understand yourself, the Spirit will come and help you. And it's called the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. He will guide you into all truth, you see. So this is what Apostle Paul is trying to expatiate here, that the things that we have now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So, believers, when we are born again, we have the Spirit, and He is the one to teach us. He, in the beginning, illuminate our minds to be able to grasp the gospel we heard, and ongoing, He is the one to teach us to know the truth of God. So you see that the Spirit, that's why Apostle Paul, in the epistle, says, quench not the Spirit, because when the Spirit is quenched, His influence, we are hindering His influence, so that the life of sin quenches the Spirit, so that we may read the Scriptures, but it has no taste to us. Some of us, who are believers, I'm sure we have known times that because of maybe a kind of, we have fallen into a kind of disorder life, and then the Spirit, before how we read the Bible, the truth of the Bible really, speak to us, it doesn't anymore. See, that means the Spirit influence in illuminating our mind is gone down. Even among believers can come to that at a point in time. Especially for a backsliding believer, he will totally feel it. You read the Bible, it is the same Bible, but then there's no conviction in them. It doesn't matter. The truth is not so convincing to him or her. Okay, so he moves on to verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but where the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So, which things here to this refers to the blessings of God's grace, which these doctrines of the gospel, the truth in the gospel, displays. Because it says that they have received the Spirit and they speak about, they've received something from God, which are for them to know the things that are freely given. And the things that are freely given have said the blessings of grace. The truth which shows us the blessings of grace, like forgiveness of sin, justification, sanctification, and all these truths about God's blessings of those He saves. So we have received the Spirit to be able to know these things. And now, He, as an apostle and the teacher of the word God, God's word, now they speak about them. So you see, they receive this gift to know the truth, to know it for themselves, and to also speak. So where things also we speak concerning this blessings that we have discovered by the help of the Spirit in the truth of God, which things also we speak, not in the wisdom of man, not in man's wisdom, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So here, it has, so that the way things that they have acknowledged it because they have that spiritual mind, the things of God's grace, the blessings of God's grace, so that He said that we also speak, not in words which man wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, so that here's the gospel, the doctrines of the gospel, the various doctrines, the truth of the gospels which these apostles taught, whereby the Spirit of God. They were taught by the Spirit of God, not merely by human wisdom. They didn't know it by natural learning. It's something that was revealed to them. As else we are told, they spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance. Even matters of the tongue speaking, which people think that you can just get up and say something. Remember that, in Acts chapter 2, we are told they spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance. You see, so that the things they spoke were not just they just stand up and just say something to be in connection to that. So that it tells us of this important thing, that the teachings of the apostles, the inspired teachings, were from the Spirit. God, it was discovered to them, their minds were clear about them, and then they also rest their hopes in it. You know, many times Apostle Paul will say that you speak about his hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. So his teachings about such hope is so clear. And so that three things also we speak, because they have known it. By the previous verse, he said that because they have known it, these three things given, and now they speak, they preach about them. And this verse also shows it shows us that the writers of the Holy Scriptures were inspired by the Spirit. Because it was revealed to them, and they also teach it to us. So that all that they taught, all God's truth they taught, and are written down for us now, are inspired. Because they received this, and waited, they preach, not by human wisdom, but what the Spirit taught them. What the Spirit taught them. So it also confirms their teachings as inspired, as that which God intends for us to receive from Him. See, He directed their thinking, He directed their mind to bring out this truth for us. So that it goes on to teach that only the Spirit can discover to us the things which are only known to God. In the blessings of grace, I think in the previous verse, Apostle Paul said, verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world into our glory. Before holy God, had this truth, and He revealed it to them. It was a secret with Him. And how did He reveal this truth? Through this means the Spirit giving them this truth for them to speak about them. So all the blessings of grace that sinners who are saved receive from God, which we have in which the gospel reveals, are known by the Spirit's own work for us to be able to know them. So that to know and be persuaded that the gospel is truth, it's not natural. To believe the gospel is not natural, because it is the Spirit work. Nobody naturally will wake up and say, well, this truth, God, the gospel, the blessings of the gospel, where forgiveness of sin, where God will reconcile with us, so that in the ages to come, at the day of judgment, God will have nothing against me as a sinner. For me to believe that this is true from God, the Spirit has to open my mind to. Because there are many who hear this in 1,000 times. Well, they don't even believe there's any judgment to come. They don't even care that, well, there's any God who has even given us a Savior. And they have other means of thinking. And they have no help from the Spirit. So again, this also teaches us that for us to understand the inspired scriptures as the apostles received them by revelation, by this inspiration, we also need a Spirit work of illumination. Our mind each and every time should be enlightened to understand the glorious truths or the blessed glorious revelations which are given to us, especially concerning the New Testament church and the believer's life, the Christian life. We also need illumination so that when we read the scriptures, we also understand. So that it's not just enough to read the Bible. We must be taught by the Spirit to understand it. Even individual believers, even if we are not preaching, the Spirit must, we don't receive inspiration, we don't receive revelation. But we need to get spiritual understanding. You see, Apostle Paul, many a time we pray for the believer that God should reveal this thing to their mind. That they should be enlightened, so that they will really be settled in the things God has really, their faith to be fixed in Him. This is enlightenment. The more we know God's truth and we are assured of them, the more we trust in Him more. So that is how it is. So that it is not enough to just read the Bible. You see, that is why conversion is key. We should be born again. We should be told that our hearts have been changed. And we should be told that having a Spirit to lead us. Else, we read the Bible. Yes, maybe we pick some moral lesson, but to have it through to really move us, to really submit our life to God, it will never happen. I'm sure we know many people can quote many things from the Bible, especially some of our politicians, to buttress their point, but then you ask yourself, do they really understand what they are saying? Well, they think they should just quote it. If they are true Christians, they will not just quote the Bible just like that, you see, until it's in accordance with what they are saying. And it tells you that the Spirit has not taught such a person to just quote the Bible to support anything, and you think you are okay because the Bible says it. No, you see what Apostle Paul will add, last part of verse 13, from the beginning. Great things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. This last part of verse 13, there are many different interpretations to this expression, because it is difficult to understand. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But when you understand it, then you really have a connection to what Apostle Paul is trying to say. So the first thing is from the word that they translated in the English, compare. In the Greek, I think it is the word is sukrino. And I learned that originally it means that to combine or join things together fitly. So if you have the original meaning, the compare doesn't come in. But then I learned that later Greek, it was used as compare. Okay, and another, so that it's like, is it thinking of joining spiritual things to spirit or just contrasting? So which one we take? That's what it comes to their mind. And the second thing also, the exact meaning of spiritual things with spiritual. What, because it doesn't really say what kind of spiritual things. Spiritual things with spiritual. So it gives kind of everybody suggesting what it means. So always the question, what is Apostle Paul saying here? What does it mean? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But then, when we think of this in connection with the first part of the verse, because in the first part of the verse, he's saying that great things also we speak. Not so he's thinking about the truth that they preach about, the revealed truth which they preach about, and that they preach it not in the words which man wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost what teaches. So it is in connection with what? The truth that they preach. This expression is in connection with that. So that, he seemed to say that though the truth they teach are revealed to them by the Spirit, yet they are not teaching mystics. Because the thing is that somebody will say, well, the Spirit revealed it to us, so it is out of our mind. It's something that, I'm sure you know that some of these so-called false prophets today, when they say something will be revealed to them, and then it doesn't come true, and they are questioned. Well, God told me. I'm sure you have heard that. So what Apostle Paul is saying here, comparing spiritual things, though the Spirit revealed them to them, it's not something that is something that we cannot understand. And though they are inspired, then they adapt this word, the Spirit makes it to bring it to the understanding, so that they can really analyze it. And relate it to other truths of Scripture, to know the truth of it. For instance, we know that the apostles in the early teachings, they will quote an Old Testament Scripture and connect it with the new, like the preaching of Apostle Peter at the day of Pentecost. He quoted Hosea, and after showing its fulfillment, and explained and connected it. And many times they do that, so that though the New Testament teaching is a revelation from the Spirit, it is not something that is so strange and new. It is something which is in line with God's truth. So that, though it is revealed to them, they're able to think. I mean, it's something that they can be what? Analyzed together, joined together. So that, like, the Spirit will reveal it to them, and they are given that spiritual mind or spiritual way of explaining it, where it comes to us to understand. So, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, though it is revealed to us, it is not mystic. As I gave this example, like this so-called false prophet. Okay, God told me. Okay, it didn't work. Is it true? Well, God told me. You see, as if that revelations are not merely, it should not be sensible. No, it should be sensible. It's always according to truth. So, all that is telling us is that the Spirit revealed this truth to them, which they have received. But then, it is something that they themselves are able to also connect them to other truths of Scripture. This again comes to mind how we study the Scripture. I come to the Bible, I read a portion of Scripture. How it is saying something. Do I just take it and just, oh, it's a principle I'm using. No, the Bible, way of teaching us, you have to compare with other portion of Scripture. Some may be contradicting it, some may be approving it. How do we know? Then when we compare, then we know that, yes, this is what else. We take only this portion, we go and read the other part, and we say, oh, so the Bible is written in a way that one truth confirms the other. So that if here is true, then it will be true there. If there's a contradiction, then we need to understand it from the Bible. So that it connects, it's something that bring about sound doctrine or sound preaching. Because you know that, all the false teachings that have come through in the Christian system came about people, they read a portion of Scripture, they think, oh, they discover something new that from all the old preachers or all the gospel people have never known, and they begin to practice. And as if something the Spirit has revealed to them. By the time they realize, then they've gone away astray from the general truth of Scripture. So you see, so comparing spiritual things with spiritual, it's something that the Spirit revealed, but then they are given that spiritual capacity to relate it to other scriptural truths to be able to bring out the right sense. So that here he's speaking about the Spirit, how the Spirit assists believers to see the cohesion of God's truth, how God's truth relate to each other. So you see, though they are spiritual revelations, they are not mystics. You know, I'm not talk of mystics, you know, again, others are in other religions, well, something mysterious, some ideas that are not in touch with intelligence and awareness, so long as it is revealed to them, they want to practice it. No, because what they received, they're able to compare with other scripture truths to know the realities of them. You see, God has given the capacity to his people so that they can. I gave that example with how they did with the Old Testament scriptures to the New. How they're able to quote it, to connect it. Look at reading the book of Hebrews. If you read Leviticus, if you have not the book of Hebrews, you'll be confused. That also. I remember one time a friend asked me, I have read the whole book of Leviticus. Is it something that we have? How do you understand the sacrifices, the animals, and it's sometimes as if just killing animals? But the book of Hebrew that threw more light on that sacrificing Leviticus and most of the Old Testament. The book of Hebrew threw more light on that. So we are moved to read both and compare, and then we're able to understand what those seemingly weird things mean. So that's what I mean. So comparing spiritual thing with spiritual, the various truth given, God gives us the capacity to compare, to contrast, to try to see how they connect with others, so that we don't win air in our explanation of God's truth. And again, the Holy Spirit still assists preachers, true preachers today, to have this, so that what we call sound preaching. You say somebody doesn't preach soundly, that's what they mean, because he's not connecting God's truth in a way that's according to Scripture. So for us to be sound in our teaching, we connect God's truth with another one, and we see how they all work together. And then we can say with boldness that this is what God is bringing to us. So that's what Apostle Paul is saying. They receive this revelation, but then, it's not something that is strange. It can be compared to God's truth so that they can be joined with, they have known before to consistently teach the truth of God. So I read to you that verse, that is verse 13. When things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, because, he has condemned worldly wisdom, and he has promoted, shown us the wisdom in the gospel. So if you say it's a mystery, something we see from the Spirit, then it doesn't touch with wisdom. No, but it tells us we can compare something, we can think about, but those who have spiritual mind, you see. Which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. He teaches us to compare these things together, you see. Though the comparison is done by us, we when he doesn't teach us, all our comparison will come to nothing. So you see, though we compare, we join them together, he teaches us. He illuminates our mind to connect these two together. And that is why we have systematic theology, how doctrines are arranged, and then it follows. And some people say, well, they don't like doctrine. I'm sure you have this, some of these classmates, they say, oh, for them, they don't like doctrine. Doctrine divides. I've heard some doctrine divides, love unites. How can you say doctrine is about teachings of God's truth. How can you say you don't like doctrine but you like the Bible? They don't like the Bible because the Bible is a teaching book. You see, so that is another part, and they think, well, love unites. So let's believe everything, let's do everything. No, but we have to really bring out the doctrines of Scripture, and that is where our faith will grow, and then we can rest in the Lord as He teaches us. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So the natural man here, he is going to do another contrast here. The natural man here is the unregenerate person, the unbeliever, who doesn't have that spiritual mind. He's not born again. So you see that natural man, his mind is not renewed, his heart is not changed. So, by the natural man receiving not the things of the Spirit of God. So, he has said that believers have received the things of the Spirit of God, both the spiritual mind and also be able to know the things that God gives to us. But the natural man do not receive these things from the Spirit of God. It is true, the views of an unbeliever, the principles of life, his joy and aim in this life is all worldly. How can he accommodate things beyond this world? He can't. His hopes, his principle, his joy, and his comfort, aims, is about this world. It's his purpose of life is to live here and now. So that this wisdom of God, the truth of God, that left the mind above the head, no, it's so far, it doesn't touch him. That's what Apostle Paul is saying. So the natural man receiving all the things of the Spirit of God, so that the unregenerate do not have the capacity to embrace the teachings of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means. They don't have the capacity to hold on to the teachings of the Spirit. Because why? They are blind to the light of God's truth. And also, how can a blind person perceive the color of a light? He can't. It could be blind, brightened, it could be darker, it could be yellowish or bleached, but all that he sees is darkness. You see, that's the mind of the unregenerate. And it's a gloomy picture. It informs us how people cannot really care about God's truth. And also, he cannot receive the teachings of the Spirit. He cannot. See, for their foolishness unto him, it makes no sense to his mind. It's like giving gold to animal. See how we value gold as humans? Give gold to goat. If even you hang it in their neck, it's nothing to them. You see? So take the truth of God, present it how you want to any person who is not born again, who is unregenerate. If the Spirit do not work, it will make no impression on the mind of such a person. Sometimes we say, oh, how can these people follow this false prophet? They are intelligent, they are good, they are educated. The reason is, their mind is worldly. They cannot embrace the truth. The reality is, they cannot perceive God's truth. You see? So that's what Apostle Paul is trying to teach us. But the natural man receiving all the things of the Spirit of God. The truths are from the Spirit of God. He teaches us. So that when the person's mind is not renewed, he can't receive it. That is why you see many so-called educated people, and they follow after this so-called false prophet. And sometimes you say, oh, even a child can see that they are lying. No. When it comes to God's truth, a child can be, if he's born, he's wiser than the older person who doesn't want to receive the Lord, the truth of men, who doesn't have the capacity. So they are foolishness unto him. And he said, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You see, when it is presented, it is foolishness to him. He cannot know, he cannot perceive the realities of them. So that it is impossible. So neither can they. I mean, it is impossible for the unregenerate to understand God's truth. Because God's truth are only perceived by the spiritual mind. And also by the spiritual mind. He cannot perceive this glorious thing. As I say, I use the gold. I mean, if you hang a nugget of gold on the neck of a goat or a sheep, what is it for? We, or pearls, the diamonds, let make it a ring and fix it on animals. In the animal kingdom, what are gold? But you see, we have value gold and other things. They will trample on it and make it dirty and all that. Bring it to the humans. You see how we value it. The same way, God's truth is like that. The gold. God's wisdom is like gold. It's like gold. It's so, it means it's heavenly wisdom. The excellent attributes and the wisdom. How is it valued by those whose minds are not renewed? So you see how in many people don't care about God's truth. That's the reason. Because the unregenerate are not endued with that faculty by which spiritual things are recognized. The human mind has to be given off that faculty where the spiritual thing can be perceived, you see? That is it. So that if people are careless of the gospel, we pray for them, the Lord should open their eyes, because it is a great problem. They cannot receive it. They cannot recognize spiritual things. They cannot recognize spiritual things. But then he moves on. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Sorry, verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. So here, I told you, he's contrasting the unregenerate today, regenerate. So here is about the regenerate. So that the capacity of the regenerate, they're able to know God's truth. And this, again, the ignorance of the unregenerate. But he that is spiritual. You see, the natural man cannot, the unregenerate cannot. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. He himself is judge of no man. So here it has to do with the regenerate has the spiritual discernment to compare and contrast various truth, various teachings to determine the truth. So that if I am a believer and I hear somebody's teaching or preaching, I should be able to know he's teaching the truth or not. I mean, it's not that because many people, because they are unregenerate, they will say, "Oh, the preaching is so nice." Or the man so he preached very well. Ask them, what did he say? Maybe he touched on matters of life, touched on morality. But the believer will say, "Oh, the whole preaching, God was not glorified. The whole preaching is about lifting up of man. The whole preaching is about, it's not about how we can even walk right." We say, no. If it is true preaching, it will lift up our hearts to the things of God. It will glorify the Lord. It will make Christ the only thing. But you see, then the preaching is mixed up with other things. So that the spiritual person is able to discern through all that people throw at us. You see, that is why we say that true genuine believer can never totally be deceived by any false teachings. By and by, the Lord will bring, if even the person was born again in a place where there was falsehood, the Lord will by and by bring that person's mind. And he himself will discover by learning the scripture, he begin to question, but this is what the Bible says, why are they doing this in the church? But this, probably the pastors and have been the grown-up, the mature people in the church, they will be questioning them, why? Why are they not teaching what the Bible says? But they are saying different things. You ask us about the pastors or the office of it. Don't they read it? Don't they know it? As the one who maybe has been born again, just begin to question why this and that and that. You see, the Spirit has revealed the truth to him, and yet they cannot see it. You see, that's why. So he judges all things, able to compare and contrast the various teachings, and then he can determine the truth. Yet he himself is judge of no man. So here it means he himself has to do with spiritual life, who he is. But here referring to that new person, his thinking and ability to discern the truth, and he himself has to refer to his Christian life, his spiritual life. So it has to do, his spiritual life can never be fully understood or appreciated by the unregenerate. He himself is judge of no man. Here it doesn't mean that nobody can judge him that he has done wrong. It has to do with his spiritual life and the things he's able to rest his hopes in as a spiritual person, and that he lives by, nobody, other people who are not original cannot discern it. You see, the heavenly feelings of the believer, the principle by which the believer lives his life, the hopes, his fears, his joys, the unbeliever cannot know. You see, his life can never be discerned by the unbeliever. The unbeliever is stranger to these things. So, he can never perceive how this person lives his life. Yet, the believer can really see, even the unbeliever, his life and everything that's earthly, and also the truth of, things, and he is able to determine when people try to teach or try to explain things, he's able to determine which are true or not, because the Spirit teaches. But his life, no, I mean, unbeliever cannot judge him. He cannot discern. How does he feel? I mean, about troubles of life. Maybe he has gone through difficulty and he's still happy. He can trust in the Lord. He doesn't feel down because you know the Lord is with him. He's ever happy in learning the Bible, praying. I mean, doing God's service. And well, the people may say, "Oh, don't you have time for yourself? Well, what time again do I have to have? My joy is in the service of the Lord. What time do I?" And the someone was, "Oh, why don't you break and have time?" And how the world would say, "Well, no. My happiness is doing the Father's will, and that's I don't have probably a leisure time, but then I have better joy in my heart because doing the will of God, the Spirit moves my heart to be happy and peaceful in that." And probably they may tell the believer, "Oh, everybody is maybe doing this to gain that and that. Why don't you? Why don't like things and all that? Oh no, my hopes are not in this earth. Yes, the Lord will provide and He will make me have them, but I will not really chase after them." You see how people? Sometimes you see the Christian folk. They are Christians. Well, they hear there's opportunity maybe outside there for maybe a particular kind of profession. Oh, they also want to run and go and chase the money overseas. They don't even care even if they are Christian or not. No, but the true Christian will value. No, no. I am a child of God. And whether I have that thing or not, I am a happy person. So I will be with the lost people and continue. If it's the Lord, if it's about gaining, I wouldn't go anywhere. If it's about gaining plenty for this world, I wouldn't go anywhere. And the unbeliever will say, "Oh no, what's wrong with you?" You see? So the joys, the feelings, the unbeliever cannot judge. Cannot determine, cannot really realize what is holding this person, where he wants to separate from sin, where he wants to separate from worldly entertainment and probably things that people think they are happy about. No, he's ever distancing himself from what they call happiness. But he's a happy person. He's not somebody who is, because he is separated from things of the world, he's sad. No, he has a joy that they don't know. It's a joy in the heart of the believer which the world cannot perceive. Why do you want to give yourself to the things of the Lord? Because there's a joy in it. My time is already gone. But then it's all about how the unregenerate do not understand the regenerate. I think I'll move on to my last verse and I'll be done. My time is already gone. Verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have known the mind of Christ. So here, Apostle Paul has shown that the regenerate person has the spiritual mind, and then he had our capacity to take the teachings of the Spirit, which the unbeliever lacks, or the unregenerate lacks. And so this question is a way of to conclude his contrast. So for who hath known the mind of the Lord? Comparing these two people who know the will or the purpose of the Lord. Who knows? But he said that, but we have known the mind of Christ. The believer has the mind of God. God says he has a spiritual mindedness. The spirit to be spiritually minded, I don't have time to go to Romans chapter 8, verse 6. It tells us, Romans chapter 8 compared the carnal mindedness and spiritual mindedness. And it said that the spiritual mindedness is life. Because that's the life of Christ. In the beginning of that book, he said that the spirit of the law of spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin. We cannot go there, but it tells us of the same thing Apostle Paul is teaching us here, that the believer has the mind of the Lord because he knows his will, his teachings. You see, that's what it means. So the believer has the mind, but we have the mind of Christ, the spiritual mindedness, the mind of Christ, the mind that is heavenly mindedness. The mind that lifts our hearts and thoughts to. That's why in Colossians said that set your affection on things above. How can we, until we have the spirit, the mindset of the spirit in us, spiritual mindedness, we can never lift up our minds or hearts to the Lord in heaven. So you see, the believer has that capacity. So Apostle Paul, tells us, set your affections on things above. The unbeliever cannot. He has nothing there. For who hath known the mind of Christ, or mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him, that the Lord will instruct such a person, that the Spirit will instruct such a person? We have the mind of Christ. He can instruct us. So the Spirit can teach us if we are believers. And only believers alone can be taught by the Spirit of God. He alone can be instructed by Christ himself. So you see, if we are believers in Christ, we have a greater blessing. More than what the world calls a blessing. Because in the whole of this world, who can understand the things of the Lord? It's the believer. It's a privilege. It's greater than anything in the world. You see, the highest intelligent person in the world cannot understand the things of the Spirit. But a believer can. And he can really live according to the will of God, because he is able to understand the thing God revealed to us. So we have a precious gift. If we are believers, we have a precious blessing, so that by the Spirit we are able to understand the things of God. Again, I had an example to have shared, but let me just quickly. You know that there are many, even churches, who don't care about practicing things which are in Scripture. You point them, what you are doing, brother, you cannot find the basis in Scripture. But they tell you, well, that's the popular thing. That also, for instance, dancing in churches and other things. You tell them, worship should be reverent and all that. But that's what the Scripture teaches. Well, they don't care about reverence, they care about people's feelings. This is one example that when people don't want to respect the truth of God, it tells you they are not taught spiritually. Because in Christian history, worship has never been entertainment. So at recent times, when people think that they should go and dance and just be feel happy in their churches, and they are worshiping God. No, the Bible is so clear about that. Worship is reverent, and it's God's word, not man's word. See, I wanted to give some examples, but then it also tells us about many of these so-called big pastors, renowned pastors. But you see that their teachings has nothing to do with God. When they teach, you compare the word of God, you see, they are off. It tells you they are not taught by the Spirit. If we are taught by the Spirit, we teach sound teachings. We will never err. You see, the teachings of the Scriptures will be clear. People will receive it. May the Lord help us, and as we have the capacity to know the things, so that the things of the Lord, that we may never be deceived. These are the gifts of the Spirit of God to us. Shall we